This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
With empty hands, I still know how to use them, but the miles made other plans.
You know, we got a fish fry coming up this Friday at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Cottleville. We've been at that location a couple of different times. We would love to see you there. We get started at 3 o'clock. They don't usually start, you know, serving the food till closer to 5, but this is one soon. I think you can verify this. The lines get started pretty early.
Oh, they do. Especially at ones, well, you can tell which ones are preferred, and this is one.
This is a big one. It is a big one. We've had a lot of fun out there, so we look forward to that. We will, I think, visit with Steve Ellman, the St. Charles County Executive. I believe he's going to swing by for a visit on the roundtable panel. Jane will be there, former State Senator Jeff Smith, and Nick Shore, who, I don't know if that's his district out there, but it's very close to where he represents folks in Missouri. We got big news today because they did send the police takeover bill to the governor awaiting his signature. My expectation would be that signature might come before the roundtable on Friday. So that's definitely one of the topics. Coming up a little bit later this hour, Jim Talent, former U.S. Senator, I have some questions to ask about Ukraine and some international issues. I'm curious about what he would say about DOGE as well, because obviously he was involved in the United States Senate and, you know, someone who was very keenly aware of budgeting and how that works a couple of decades ago. But things have gotten out of control in Washington. We'll get Jim's perspective coming up. The Players' Championship starts tomorrow. And, I mentioned this was kind of cool. Colin Morikawa, one of the PGA pros, his caddy, because they let the caddies play, I think, on some of the warm-up rounds, hit a hole-in-one on the island.
So cool.
Green. It was really fun to see that. So Dan will have a preview, and I have audio cut of the day as well. We were hoping to get Dr. Scott Polk, who is with the University of Missouri Extension, because I wanted to talk about the situation with bird flu.
You might have him.
Oh, look at that. I was just about...
Oh, no. No.
No, they say no?
That's flipped.
All right. We're just going to flip it. Is that who's on hold right now? Look at that. You know,
nice
that's what
work,
we like. We like guests who are flexible, and that certainly qualifies for Jim Talent, former United States Senator. How are you, Jim? Thanks for being flexible here this afternoon. Great to have you.
Well, anytime I can help out, you know, I want to.
I want to get into Ukraine and some of the things that are going on there, but let me just get your thoughts on DOGE. I'm very curious. You were in the United States Senate, you were a member of Congress, you know about budgeting, and obviously this is an administration that promised a lot of this stuff, but they are taking, you know, the chainsaw. It's not necessarily the scalpel, even though last week President Trump said maybe moving forward the scalpel approach would be better. Now, Jim, I like this because I feel like I've been waiting since I first voted for President Reagan in 1984 for things along these lines to happen. I've been a fan of smaller government philosophically, so I know that there's some casualties, there's some shrapnel that's being felt across the country. But what's your take on how this is being, you know, achieved right now?
Generally, my take is very favorable. And I actually, this has made me rethink a little bit, because when I think about the budget deficit and what we're going to need to do to fix it, I focused very much on the need to constrain cost increases in the safety net programs, which, of course, is very difficult to do, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, et cetera. But what DOGE has showed me is, and I should have realized this, is that the government has been basically revving unclutched, if you will, for so long that there are significant amounts of money that we can save in the discretionary budget just by getting rid of what basically everybody would agree, except, you know, us fringe groups, is just waste. You know what I mean? So I think this has real potential. My concern is applying it in the same way they've been doing it to the Department of Defense, because, and we could spend the whole segment on this if you want, but the Department of Defense really does things all the time, even in peacetime. It's 1.1 million people just in uniform there, and they're constantly moving all over the world, even in steady state or peacetime type missions. So the point is, you can get a lot of waste out of the Department of Defense, but we don't want to do it by going in and breaking everything and then trying to put it together. See what I mean?
I do see what you mean. And one of the things that I hear, and let me kind of illustrate that point maybe a little differently, because I hear a lot of complaints. I even have some audio that I might share a little bit later in the audio cut of the day. My friend Scott Jennings on Abby Phillips' show last night, and they're basically making the case, I've heard this from the left quite a bit, that all you guys are doing is going after programs that you don't like. It has nothing to do with waste, fraud, or abuse, which I feel is untrue. And then they always say, well, we're going to go after defense as well. And that's fine. I think that's fair game to look at fraud and abuse and waste. But there's one big difference, and I think you have great appreciation for this. Our national defense is a constitutional responsibility. It's something the federal government should be doing.
Yeah, it's constitutionally different. It's also, just as a practical matter, extremely important. And there are also lives on the line. I mean, this is a department that is supposed to be able to, and basically can, perform any one of literally 40 or 50 combat missions any place in the world. I mean, and I'm all for DOGE going in and working with Hegseth and working with the undersecretaries who are going to get confirmed, because there is a lot of waste. I mean, I know that as well as anybody. But as I said, you have to be more careful how you do it there.
Yeah.
You know, we can't just like go in and say, okay, we're going to stop all the submarine maintenance while we look for waste. No, we actually have to maintain the attack submarines. They're on a schedule. You know, if you delay, it backs everything else up. So my point is, I don't want to focus on the one area of concern. I'm basically pretty pleased with it. You do notice that the president said once he got the cabinet confirmed, he has a cabinet meeting, looks at Elon, says, Elon's doing a great job. Now you got to work with these people instead of telling them what to do, which is the right thing.
Yeah.
He's got his people in place. They all want to do what Elon wants to do. They have the authority and the responsibility. So Musk is going to have to work with these people, which is the right thing.
Well, and I think a lot of that, you know, I was a fan. I don't know if you read the reporting, but the New York Times had a pretty big piece on Friday afternoon about a cabinet meeting that took place last Wednesday, I guess a week ago, where it got a little hot because Rubio and, Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary in particular, were pushing back on some of the stuff, and Trump was backing his cabinet members. I think that's positive, right? Hash it out, figure it out right now.
I suspect some of the cabinet members, and I would do this. You know, there was a long period of time I wanted to be the Secretary of Defense. And I've talked with Hegseth when he was in confirmation. I think he's going to do really well. And I'm imagining he has probably had a conversation with the president where he said, look, I know you want Elon to get waste. I want to also. I am definitely going to work with him. We want his ideas. But, you know, you have put me in charge of the department, Mr. President, and there's one commander in chief, it's you, and there's one secretary of defense, it's me, it's not Elon Musk. And my guess is Trump laughed and said, you're absolutely right about that. So they're going to work through the people who have the authority and have been nominated and confirmed to do it. But I think they've already gotten a lot of waste and they're going to get more. And who doesn't want to get that?
Well, apparently every Democrat in the Senate except for John Fetterman. That's my answer.
I mean, it's like they are going to discover things where we look at it and go, my gosh, I mean, we're paying for that.
I know.
So anyway,
it's really, some of the reaction on the left is really stunning to some of this. All right, so let's move to Ukraine, and let me simplify before I ask you some questions about the ceasefire and, you know, what might happen next. Let me simplify my position. I think my position really speaks for a lot of the American people right now. We're not experts on this stuff. I understand the danger that Putin and Russia, you know, certainly poses to that part of the planet, but I also see a lot of money that's being thrown toward this effort, whether it's military, whether it's cash, it doesn't matter. $350 million, $150 million. I don't know. The numbers are, you know, been a little debatable. But I don't see this, and I've told you this before, and I don't think anything has changed my mind. A lot of us don't see a path here to a victory for Ukraine. And I think that's where President Trump is. And he's saying, let's end the bloodshed. I'm certainly not in favor of bending over and giving Putin everything that he wants without conditions. But we do have a ceasefire that's announced today. Zelensky has crawled back a little bit and apologized to Trump. So where does this take us now?
Well, I think...
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Everything you just said is completely correct. I think the president has realized that the only possible alternative going forward now that makes any sense is a peace agreement. Look, Mark, if you can divide the American people, indeed the West, into three groups of people with regard to this. So there were those who felt we didn't have an interest in Ukraine and that maybe even, you know, Putin had been provoked a little bit by our policy regarding NATO, and they didn't want to get involved at all. And then there were people like me who felt, well, this is an opportunity to diminish the power and influence of an adversary of the United States, which is Russia. And so we should help the Ukrainians do that. And then the third group of people said, well, we should help the Ukrainians to save democracy and stand up for international law. Now, the point is, whatever group you're in, continuing the war with a situation on the battlefield, what it is and what it's likely to be, doesn't make any sense. They're conducting an attrition warfare, trying to wear each other down, fighting over really basically a few kilometers of ground. It's like World War One with drones. So peace is in everybody's interest. And Trump has now got the process back on board because he's got Zelensky with him. The next step is getting Putin to the table and willing to agree to something reasonable. And he's not going to get his maximalist demands either. So I think the effect of proposing this ceasefire, it's to sort of put Putin on the griddle, because if he agrees to it, he stopped fighting, and it's going to be very difficult for him to start fighting again. If he doesn't agree to it, then it's plain he's the one who doesn't want peace, and then I think you'll see the Trump administration starting to pressure him.
That's what.
And there are leverage points. There are leverage points we have. But the president said something, I think it was last week, when Putin went after the Ukrainian infrastructure, and the president talked about going after the banks. Listen, if we target the banks and we target the oil revenue, we can hurt Russia, and Putin knows that. So I think this process is back on now. I think Zelensky gets the joke, and I think the president's going to achieve this, but it's going to be difficult. he's not going to get it. You know, the president will talk about, I'll get it in 24 hours. No, that's not going to happen. But I think we're going to get it.
All right, well, here's what he said.
We have a full ceasefire. If it kicks in, we have to see. It's up to Russia now. But we've had a good relationship with both parties, actually. And we'll see. We'll be knowing people are going to Russia right now as we speak. And hopefully we can get a ceasefire from Russia.
He went on to say he expects to talk to Putin this week.
President, will you talk to Vladimir Putin about this ceasefire deal? Do you think you need to have a conversation with him to get the Russians
I'll
to agree?
I'll talk to Vladimir Putin, yeah.
When will
I want to get,
to
look, that's the other, it takes two to tango, as they say, right? So hopefully he'll also agree. And I really think that would be 75% of the way. The rest is getting it documented and, you know, negotiating land positions, etc.
So you'll talk to him this week?
Can you simplify some of the land positions as he referred to it? I mean, you don't want to be in a situation where you have no concessions from Russia and Putin, right? So how does that work itself out? Can you explain it where someone like me would understand it, Jim?
Sure. Well, the deal that Trump has been driving towards, and I'll just 2 years ago, I suggested something along these lines, is because Russia has been winning, quote unquote, at enormous cost, they're going to get a little more Ukrainian territory. They're not going to get everything they want. They want all four of the Western provinces. I probably could name them, but Donetsk, Luhansk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson, I think. They want that. They want Ukraine to agree never to rearm, and they want the United States and the West to agree never to sell any arms to Ukraine. They're not going to get those maximalist demands. So he's going to have to give that up. He's going to get a little more territory in return for peace. And then what Ukraine gets is assistance in rebuilding the country. Now, Ukraine wants a formal security guarantee. So here's the thing, Mark, okay? It's power, not promises, that guarantee security. In other words, if Ukraine can link to the West the way it's always wanted to do, if the Europeans will rebuild their defenses the way they say they're going to, then Ukraine is going to have effective security going forward. If those things do not happen, the guarantee isn't worth the paper it's written on. We gave them a guarantee 30 years ago, the Budapest Memorandum, and Putin did what he did anyway. Because you see what I'm saying?
Yep, absolutely.
It's peace through strength, not peace through promises. And I bet anything that Rubio has been saying this to Zelensky, saying we're going to protect your sovereignty, but you don't need a guarantee to do that. And in fairness, if you're a mediator, which Trump is, you can't put your thumb on the scale of either side. You're trying to get a deal. You can't expect Putin to agree to a deal that lets Ukraine into NATO.
No.
I mean, he can't do that.
I think that's certainly been ruled out. How do you, when I was listening to President Trump, he was with the Prime Minister of Ireland today, and one of the things that came up, and I'll be honest, Jim, I don't have any kind of understanding of this, but he was pointing out some of the challenges in working with the leaders in Europe. He sat there with the Irish Prime Minister, but he mentioned the European Union. So how does the European Union, and what does that body actually do to kind of play into all of this? Because it's not like you have Macron and, Starmer, all these guys on the same page. They have this European Union representation as well, right?
Yes, they do. And this is one of the problems with the EU is what is the relationship between the EU and the countries that are in the EU on questions relating to security? And so what I will say is both the EU officials and European leaders, they will spout off and they will promise things and say things that they believe in, flowery statements. There's no action there, which is the problem. In other words, they're talking about how important it is to protect Ukraine. At the same time, as they, for example, they're buying more oil from Putin now than they in value than they're sending to Ukraine in aid. Their militaries, they've allowed them to decline to the point. I wrote a column about this. It was now almost 10 years ago. The German army was training with broomsticks because they didn't have rifles.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So, and this is the point Vance has made. It's the point Trump made in the first term. He said, look, if you want to be strong, if you want the continent to have influence, get access to reliable, affordable energy. Stop letting in millions of people who are destroying the social cohesion of your country, and rebuild your militaries to a decent level. And they got angry at him, and they got angry at Vance when, and oh, by the way, Vance said, you know, stop arresting your people because they're speaking.
Well, which, some of that is just, look, some of that is so ridiculous. And by the way, you've kind of led me into something for tomorrow. I have Madeline Kearns on tomorrow, Jim, who's with the Free Press now. And she wrote this piece last week about this grandma who was arrested in Scotland by the speech police. And it is stunning. And she's going to share that story tomorrow. Hey, since I have you, let me ask you this question on the CR. We're looking like maybe another government shutdown will kick in at midnight on Friday. Here's Chuck Schumer this afternoon.
Republicans chose a partisan path, drafting their continuing resolution without any input. From congressional Democrats. Because of that, Republicans do not have the votes in the Senate. Our caucus is unified on a clean April 11th CR that will keep the government open and give Congress time to negotiate bipartisan legislation that can pass. I hope our Republican colleagues will join us to avoid a shutdown on Friday.
Okay, I don't know that that's going to happen. So where is this going to take us?
It is a clean CR. I mean, I don't think there's... Look, I haven't read all 99 pages, which, by the way, very slimmed down for one of these things. But I think it is a CR. I think there's some additional provisions in there for the Department of Defense, which are very good. I'll get into technical. I mean, when the Congress doesn't pass an actual appropriations bill for the Department of Defense, as opposed to a continuing resolution, it affects the department's authorities to begin new contracts or reprogram monies. It's really not good at all. And, you know, again, we were talking before, the Department of Defense, those kinds of things are important. So they've given them some extra authorities in this, and they provided them some money to make up for they're getting a little bit more of an increase, not enough, but they're getting a little bit more of an increase. I think it is a clean CR. I think when the House was able to pass it, it really put the Democrats behind the eight ball in the Senate. So they can do this if they want, but then this is Schumer's shutdown.
Yeah, right. And they're going to get tagged with the blame. And
well,
I guess they're willing to do that because they're so full of TDS. Look, you got like AOC. This is on the House side, of course, but AOC and Jayapal are out there saying this.
They should refuse to allow this bill to pass in the Senate.
If they don't,
I think there's going to be huge backlash from across the country. And I think all of them will have to deal with the consequences of that.
The Republicans have the White House, the Senate, and the House. If they want to do this, and if they want to screw over the American people, they can do this with their votes and their party. I do not believe that Democrats should participate.
So there you go. That's the advice. Look, these are people that thought that everyone should have walked out during that speech last week, right, when Congressman Green gets up there. So they're going to take their stand. It's the resistance, Senator Towne. It's all about the resistance. You know that, right?
Well, I honestly think a lot of Democrats don't like this. It's a difficult position for them to be in because there are elements in the base of the Democratic Party that want the resistance. But, you know, it's hearkening back to the first term when they just really refused to recognize that Donald Trump's the president of the United States and deserves to be treated in that, you know, as if he is. So as my understanding, and this is not something I follow real closely, is that they wanted all kinds of restrictions in the bill on Trump's authority to do things and run the executive branch. Of course, the Republicans weren't going to agree to that. I mean, they wouldn't have agreed to it if the Republicans had sought it for Biden. So I think it is a clean CR. It doesn't bring in a lot of baggage and a lot of other issues. It just keeps the government going so that the Congress can turn to the other business of the people, primarily the reconciliation bill. So, look, it's their choice.
I thought the business of the people was selling Teslas for Elon Musk. That's what the Democrats are also trying to tell us right now. Unbelievable.
I think Musk will figure out how to
he'll be fine. Right. All right. Hey, we had some gremlins in the phone system here that sounded a little weird just a short time ago. So I'm going to let you go. But always great. Thank you, Jim Towne. I appreciate it.
You are welcome.
All right. Take care. Audio cut of the day is still coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.